Blog Talk Radio.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
I wasn't on last week by, I forgot I had a doctor's appointment, and so I kind of missed out, and, you know, things happen. Everything turned out okay. It was just a regular exam, nothing, you know. I didn't have to get rushed to the hospital for anything, but I think I did catch a cold at that damn place. You go to the doctor's office to make sure you're well, and you wind up getting sick. Hey, neither here nor there. But we missed a good bit of racing from a couple weeks ago, but then it was pretty busy this weekend. IndyCar in action, all three NASCAR series. That's a lady in black. We'll get into all that. So let's start off and go check out the IndyCar results. Okay, Indy was down at the Firestone Grand Prix on the Indianapolis Motor Speedway road course. That's right. They do a road course there. Used to be they only had one race. They were called IndyCar. They raced around the country. And guess what they did? They raced at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway once a year for the Indy 500. Well, they did have a road course there because I know Formula One used to run it. So they decided to make the IndyCar series, add that to the schedule. I mean, they have a lot of road course races as well throughout the country. But if you're in the IndyCar series, you might as well run oval and road course at the parent track of the series. It used to be the month of May. They all went to Indianapolis and then just practiced and did all sorts of things to get ready for the Indy 500. So I guess they decided just kick it off with a race and then stay there while and gear up for the Memorial Day main event. I don't know if anybody's going to be running both IndyCar and Cup on Memorial Day, what I call the Memorial Day 1100, because you had 500 miles at Indy and 600 at Charlotte. That's a grueling day for anybody, because you figure you got to get all set and qualify and run 500 miles and then get your butt out of there and fly down to Charlotte. And chances are you're going to start last, because if you miss the driver's meeting, you start at the back. And the way the airlines are running these days, I even think private planes might have an advantage, but that all depends. So let's check out the results of the Firestone Grand Prix, GMR Grand Prix race results. Now, the road course is 2.439 miles, which is just shy of the 2.5 mile for the Brickyard, the actual Brickyard track. I call it an oval. It's more rectangular, but you know what I mean. Well, wound up Alex Palou took the checkered flag, starting third. Pato O'Ward was fourth. Alexander Rossi was fifth. Christian Lundgaard was fourth. Felix Rosenqvist was fifth. Scotty Dixon, sixth. Joseph Newgarden, seventh. Marcus Ericsson, eighth. Colton Herta, ninth. And Graham Rahal rounds out the top 10. Now, there's a lot of familiar names up at the top there. There's a few that didn't quite get up that far, like Helio Castroneves or Will Power. They were just Castroneves was 22nd. I don't know. He's won the Indy 500 a few times, and he's got a few IndyCar championships. Maybe he ought to try something else. Kind of like Tony. Tony Stewart was an IndyCar champ. And that was prior to the road courses. It was when it was strictly an oval series, because it used to be kart championship auto racing teams, which formed from USAC, United States Auto Club. And then they decided to go to championship auto racing teams, I guess, to allow racers from other countries. Formula One guys would come over. You know, everybody wants to win the Indy 500. Even if you've never driven that style of track before, it is probably one of the, if not the largest races in the world. Daytona 500 being another big one. So, you win a championship in IndyCar. And we've had others, you know. There's been people that made the jump from IndyCar to stock car. And then back again. I mean, Jimmy Johnson retired from stock car, went to IndyCar, at least part owner of Richard Petty Motorsports. So he hops in that once in a while. But then again, seven-time IndyCar champ. He could have had a go at it. Just might have taken him give it a go. Juan Montoya. There was an Indy 500 winner, IndyCar champ, went to NASCAR. Didn't quite have as good a success in NASCAR, but, hey, he was competitive. So, that's all how it goes. The average speed for the winner was 115.2 mile an hour. Time of race, 1.47. An hour, 47 minutes and 56 seconds. So call it an hour, 48 minutes. Margin of victory, the big one, 16.8 seconds between first and second. Either somebody got out of a good jump off a restart, or they were just that darn fast and was able to pull away for a number of laps to where I wouldn't be surprised if they were catching the back end of the field with that kind of gap. Lead changes were 12 lead changes amongst 8 drivers, and there was one caution for 3 laps. Point standings. Palou takes the points lead. O Ward is second. Erickson third. Grosjean fourth. McLaughlin fifth. Newgarden sixth. Scotty Dixon, 7th, Will Power, 8th, Lundgaard, 9th, and Alexander Rossi is rounding out your top 10. So there you have your Indianapolis results. Let's see, where do I want to go? I guess we'll go trucks and work our way up. So we have 9 former winners. This is out of Indianapolis. And 7 series champs ready to start 500 preparation. Let's see. Marcus Ericsson got his first ever Indy 500 win last year. So, but other former winners claiming for a spot in the race include four-time winner Helio Castroneves. I think four is the most, one person is one, starting with AJ Foyt. Then we got Takuma Sato, won twice. Scotty Dixon once. Tony Kanaan once. Ryan Hunter-Reay once. Alexander Rossi once. Will Power once. And Simone Pagenaud are your former winners. Castroneves, like I said, is one of the few people that have won four times, starting with AJ Foyt, and that also included Al Unser and Rick Mears. It's like the Holy Grail when you get to a certain status and, you know, like, yep, you get the BorgWarner trophy and it is your face stuck on it. Of course, it doesn't look all that good, but it's technically supposed to be the winner's face. We got rookies. Ooh, U.S. drivers and then international drivers. 21 drivers from 14 countries. We're already counting some of the guys that have been in the series a while, like Will Power, Felix Rosenquist, Takuma Sato, Rinus VK, Helio Castroneves. So it should be interesting to see how it plays out. Given a good car with Castroneves running, he could be the first five-time winner of the BorgWarner Trophy. Okay, Ericsson has the first chance to become the back-to-back winner since Castroneves did that in 2001 and 2002. If he secures a repeat win, he could earn a bonus of $420,000 courtesy of BorgWarner. That's more than the entire yearly purse, including the 50th anniversary of the 500 in 1961. So, that's some serious coin Marcus Ericsson could bring home if he wins it again for back-to-back. So that's pretty neat. So who do you root for? I don't really have any stake in the series, so it just remains to be seen as whoever has a good day. Good pit stops, good position, fast car always helps. And have to wait and see. I think that'll be the 29th. Check my calendar. 28th or 29th. It'll be the Sunday, not the Monday. All righty. Let's check out the truck series as we have race number 9. Turns out Christian Eckes, who's driving the 19, he started 4th, wound up taking a checker flag, did win stage 1, so that gives him 6 playoff points. Stuart Friesen was 2nd. 3rd was Tanner Gray. That's a pretty good finish for Tanner, considering, you know, He came from, he won a championship in another form of motorsports, and came over to NASCAR. He did the ARCA thing first to get his feet wet, and then moved on up to NASCAR. So he's third. It's probably, I think, his best finish so far. William Byron was fourth. Carson Hocevar, fifth. Sixth, Roger Carruth. Bubba Wallace in the field. The seventh, Corey Haim, eighth. Ninth, Dean Thompson. And 10th, Caden Honeycutt. It sounds like one of the names off a TV show. The MASH was it? Major Honeycutt. But anyway, Bubba Wallace, 7th, 8th, 9th, Honeycutt. Nick Sanchez, 11th. You know, Ross Chastain, Corey LaJoy running in the field. Haley Deegan finished 26th. Actually, no. I'm reading it wrong. 20th. And that's it for the ladies. Only Haley. Race took 2 hours, 2 minutes, 42 seconds. Now, who did win stage two? If I have to give you that one, William Byron. Eight cautions for 37 laps. 10 lead changes amongst five drivers. All righty. Let's go for the points. With those results, Zane Smith has the points lead. He's locked in with two wins. Ty Majeski second. Corey Haim third has a win locked in. Ben Rhodes, fourth, no wins. Christian Eckes, two wins in fifth. Grant Enfinger, one in sixth. Then you have seventh, eighth, and ninth, and Matt Crafton, Tanner Gray, and Nick Sanchez with no wins. That leaves the door open. And rounding out the top ten is Stuart Friesen with no wins. But Carson Hocevar, 12th, he has a win, so he's going to bump down everybody with no wins. And on the bubble will be Matt DiBenedetto. Any other winners? No, we think that's it. There we go. Looking for Christian Eckes and get his take on the victory.
All right, we are now joined by Christian Eckes, winner of tonight's NASCAR Camping World NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series race here at Darlington Raceway. We will go right into questions for Christian. Who would like to start us off? All right, well, while we wait, okay, we'll start with Bob.
Bob Parker, Fox Sports, were all those late restarts nerve-wracking, or were you pretty confident?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, in times past, I probably would have been a little bit nervous, but I felt like our truck was so good that it could kind of do most of the work for me. So just overall, really proud of everybody on this McAnally-Hogeman Racing number 19. Obviously, it's been well-documented. Our last five races have been probably the worst stretch of my career. So And not really any of our doing. We've had race winning speed every time. It's just, you know, certain things go certain ways. And we put it all together tonight, executed well. Pit stops were amazing. And, yeah, it's a good end result for sure. You guys are a lively room. I know I'm pretty boring, but somebody's got to have a question here. There we go.
All
see,
right,
now
we
got some questions. Thank you.
Go to the back, and then we'll come up to Hunter.
Christian, I'm Christian Southerup, Racing Carolina. How does it feel to win at Darlington Raceway? It's been a historic track on throwback weekend. You had a dominating truck all night long. So can I get your thoughts on what it was like here to win tonight?
First of all, I like the first name. Second of all, yeah, no, our truck was just really, really good. And, you know, this place is really, really tough to get a good truck. And this is probably the best truck I've ever driven as far as speed-wise and drivability-wise for the racetrack conditions. And we put it to the test tonight for sure. So, yeah, it's super cool to win here.
Hunter Thomas with theFourthTurn.com. Christian, you grew up kind of racing at Myrtle Beach Speedway that isn't too far away from here. What's it like going through the ranks and the grassroots and then making it here to NASCAR and then actually getting wins? This is your second win this season.
Yeah, no, it's been a long journey for sure. It hasn't exactly been the path that I was expecting it to be, but I wouldn't trade all the experiences and things I've been through for the world. I feel like they've made me a better person, a better race car driver, and really feel like I'm in a really good spot to go and prove a lot. So, yeah, no, it's cool to win here for sure. And, yeah, I guess Myrtle Beach is really, you know, not too far from here. So, yeah, just really thrilled. Thanks, man.
Okay, yeah, L.A. Stern, SportsTalk805.com. How concerned were you when Byron got there right behind you?
Yeah, a little bit concerned for sure. You know, I was really focused at that time just trying to put some laps together, but he was making some ground there at some point. And I grew up racing against William, and we all know how good he is. So to beat one of the best in the top series in kind of our backyard is really cool as well.
Any additional?
There you have Christian Eckes. And let's take on the win in the truck series. Too tough to tame. Three people have tamed it. Now, the cup race, that turned out to have a different result than it was supposed to look like, but we'll get there in a minute. All righty, let's go to the Xfinity series. Kyle Larson decided to get some seat time at Darlington. Wound up taking the checkered flag. Justin Allgaier was second. Cole Custer, third. Fourth was Austin Hill. John Hunter Nemechek was fifth. Carson Hocevar, who's up from the Truck Series, was seventh. Josh Berry, eighth. Ninth was Sam Mayer, and eighth was Sam Mayer. Josh Berry, seventh, excuse me. And ninth was Kaz Grala. And Corey Haim up from the Truck Series as well. So, Allgaier. The pole sitter was John Hunter Nemechek. He was leading. He did win stage two. Larson won stage one. The only one who got any points out of any of that was John Hunter because he is racing in the series for points. So, but it came down to who wanted to win most, and we got entangled a little bit, and Larson was able to take the win. So, you know, what are you going to do? Okay, 2 hours, 11 minutes, 4 seconds, average speed, 91.924. margin of victory, 1.337 seconds. So Larson's won the Shriners Children's 200. It's his 14th in the Xfinity Series. There were 10 cautions for 51 laps and 18 lead changes amongst 9 drivers. Wow. That's a lot of drivers that have led. Let's check out the standings. So your points leader after Darlington is John Hunter Nemechek. He has 2 wins. Close behind him by a point. In second place is Austin Hill. He has 3 wins. Third place, Justin Allgaier. No wins, and he's only 53 points back. So I think things shouldn't move too much. Josh Berry in fourth with a win. Wait, stage wins. Okay, Josh Berry in fourth, no wins. Cole Custer, no wins. Chandler Smith has a win. Sheldon Creed doesn't. Sammy Smith does. Rounding out the top 10 will be Riley Herbst in ninth and Sam Mayer in 10th. Oh, wait, that's 12 for the points for the playoffs. Daniel Hemric, 11th. And Parker Kligerman in 12th. No wins. So your locked-in drivers are John Hunter Nemechek, Austin Hill, Chandler Smith, Sammy Smith, Jeb Burton, and all the way down in 18th place, just got a win. The last time out is Ryan Truex. Now those are your locked-in drivers. You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 12. Half of them. So that regular season isn't over yet. They could add to that batch. So we'll just have to wait and see. Let's check out our winner. Kyle Larson.
All right. We are now joined by Kyle Larson, driver of the number 10 College Racing Chevrolet, the winner of today's NASCAR Xfinity race here at Darlington Raceway. If you have a question for Kyle, please raise your hand. We will get a wireless microphone to you. We'll start up front with Mike.
Mike Kimbry, NBC. You got to stop with these last lap things, man. They're getting crazy. Did you feel like you were going to lose control at any time on the last lap?
Of my car?
Yeah.
I did. I don't know. I mean, I just kind of playing out the last 5 or so laps. You know, I was afraid because, you know, the first few he was getting away from me in 3 and 4, and I thought – that I wasn't ever going to be close enough in 1 and 2 to be able to do what I did, get him loose and get inside of him. But the, you know, the last 3 or 4 laps, he started getting really loose off of 4, which so was I, but the line that I was running, I could kind of make my straightaway a little bit longer and just exit with a little bit more momentum to where I could kind of just maintain down the front stretch, and then I could close on him 1 and 2 and then just kind of inch towards him the last couple laps and was able to be close enough off of 4 to set up for 1 and 2 and do, you know, a higher entry into 1 and get my angle just right to where I could throttle up and get to his back bumper there and get him loose and get inside of him. And we just ran really tight to each other into 3 and we just barely touched into three, and then kind of got us both out of shape and got me clear in front of him. And, I touched him, and then he got in behind me, and it kind of turned my car, pointed me this way, so I'm sliding and hit the wall, and then was just trying to get my – I didn't want a wall ride or nothing like that because I didn't want to, get a penalty or anything. So, we hit the wall, and I came off of it, and I'm just watching in my little mirror to, seeing where he's at and trying to chase away from him a little bit and keep my foot in it. And, hit the wall there, late exit, and about the same point when he was getting to me. So – just a wild, crazy finish, and hopefully the fans all enjoyed it.
The replay didn't show everything. Did you hit the wall pretty hard there coming out of four?
Yeah. I hit the wall late, basically the straightaway off of four, just because my car had damage from the time when I hit the wall a ton in the center. So then I'm just tugging on the – once I get off the wall, I'm just tugging on the wheel as hard as I can and trying to feed enough throttle where I don't hit the wall too early. Like I said, my car was – something was bent or broke because I was plowing on exit of four and hit the wall there late.
We'll go to Pete and then to Scott and then up to Bob.
Kyle, after you got assessed that speeding penalty, you dropped back to 30th. How did you stay so calm and told everybody, hey, it's not a big deal, we'll get through this? How did you know that you'd be able to kind of make this comeback?
Well – I figured there'd be a caution at some point, and we would be able to put on fresh tires again. So I knew that I was going to be able to pass some cars, at least get to hopefully the top 10 before caution would come out. We were able to get to 6th, which was better than I thought I was going to be. And then we got a spot on pit road, was able to get a car on the restart, get to 4th. Then we had that final restart, and I was hoping those guys were – I knew John Hunter was going to choose the bottom, and I was hoping those two in front of me were going to choose the top, and they did, and the bottom lane launched really well and was able to come clear a second and then, race him to the win. So had one of those guys chose the bottom behind him and I would have lined up outside second row, I think it would have been a different result for me. So things just worked out there late, but we had a great car, too, to be able to drive to the front. That was a lot of fun. I could – kind of run wherever I wanted to and not even really lose much lap time passing people. So great car. Thanks to College Racing for the opportunity to race for them. It's been a lot of fun to race for them these last 2 days, and hopefully I'll get the opportunity in the future to race some more.
Kyle, Scott Chancey with the Florence Morning News. In light of some drivers in recent years having won the Xfinity race here on Saturday, they've went on to win Sunday. Do you see today's win as a good sign for tomorrow?
I hope so. My race car in practice in the Cup Series was really good. I was maybe not as fast as some for the first few laps, but my long run speed was really, really good. So we'll see. I think the Gibbs cars will be better in the race, a lot better in the race than they were in practice, and they were still really good in practice. So I think the 19, in my opinion, is probably the one to beat. He's really good here, especially in 3 and 4. He can run the wall better than anybody here by far. So I think he'll be the one to beat, but I think we definitely have a good enough car to compete. Just got to execute a little bit better than I did today and not make it so hard on myself.
Bob Pockers, Fox Sports. John Hunter just said it was just hard racing. I'm curious if you felt it was that way, and he said he hadn't raced you a whole lot, in that type of situation. So I'm curious if you had any question of how he was going to race there at the end.
Yeah, no, I thought it was hard racing for sure. I didn't have a big enough run down the backstretch by him, so we were kind of just equal with each other down the length of the backstretch, and I was nervous of what was going to happen into three because these cars get really loose when somebody's on your outside. So I was just trying to stay tight to him so I could arc and drive in as far as I could. And right at the end of the straightaway, we kind of touched and it got both of us out of shape and got him tucked behind me. So then from there, we're just doing all we can to both come out the winner. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. He did a really good job getting by me. at the end of the second stage, I was struggling and kind of was playing out similar, but three and four just it was crazy. So I was planning on trying to basically do what he did to me was slide me and he was going to cross me over and we were going to drag race to the finish line, but we touched right at the end of the backstretch there and it kind of messed both of our momentum up and angles and our cars were just a handful at that little section of entry of three, and then we were hitting and hit the wall and got crazy.
I know it's split second, but you hit the wall.
There you have Kyle Larson. All righty. Let's do the cup race. The main event. Error while opening document. Back to the page. All righty. Here we go. The race turned out to be a overtime game. And William Byron wound up taking the checkered flag, holding off Kevin Harvick, Chase Elliott in third, Brad Keselowski in fourth, Bubba Wallace in fifth. Good run for Bubba. Sixth was Harrison Burton, Kyle Busch seventh, Justin Haley eighth, ninth Ryan Blaney, and 10th Chris Buescher. Now, the problem is Kyle Larson and Ross Chastain were battling it out for the lead. And one thing led to another. They wound up wrecking and spinning, which brought out the caution. It was like in overtime already or close to it. And we needed another green-white checker. So, that being said, Larson and Chastain took themselves out of the equation there. So when the restart came, Byron pulled ahead of Harvick and was able to hold him, Elliott off. And he was able to take the win. On the points, so it's amazing that the points leader is Ross Chastain, and he hasn't won a race. Christopher Bell, second, has won a race. Kevin Harvick, third, hasn't won a race. Denny Hamlin with a win in fourth. Byron, with this win, it's his third. And fifth, Martin Truex Jr., sixth. Blaney, seventh. Tyler Reddick, eighth. He has a win. Brad Keselowski, ninth. And Kyle Larson rounds out the top 10. Oh, wait, that's points. Got to go 16. I'm a little foggy. Okay, so you have, out of 16 playoff spots, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Nine people locked in with wins. So as we get close to September, that could fill up fast. So guys without a win need to get one. But should you not get a win and hopefully there's a spot open to the points. Now, Ross Chastain being the points leader and not having any wins, he might have a shot. He does have 5 stage wins, which gives him 5 playoff points. So that could be beneficial in the long run. All righty. Check out our race-winning team of Hendrick, Jeff Gordon, vice chairman, crew chief Rudy Fugel, and William Byron. Who is driving Jeff Gordon's old ride?
All right, we're going to go ahead and get started with our NASCAR Cup Series post-race media availabilities here at Darlington Raceway. We are now joined by Rick Hendrick, team owner of Hendrick Motorsports, and Jeff Gordon, vice chairman of Hendrick Motorsports. Also important to note that this is the 100th win for the number 24. So, gentlemen, if you would start us off, just your reaction to that incredible stat.
Well, obviously a great day for the 24 car. And I think back to last year here at Darlington, a little bit of redemption too for William Byron and that team. But yeah, real special. I mean, this weekend's special with all the throwbacks, especially that 24 throwback meant a lot to me. A lot of memories from 50th anniversary year, and was that 98, I believe, and that car and that paint scheme. So certainly it was great to see it on track, but to see William perform and the whole team perform the way they did today too, and they had to fight back. They had track position, good car, and they had to work on it a little bit throughout the race, as well as got a little bit behind on one or two pit stops, but they just hung in there and they were at the right place at the right time to capitalize there at the end, and then great restart. So really happy for that whole team, and they, I mean, this year I feel like it's been just a phenomenal year for Rudy and for William and that whole 24 team. They've just been performing at a very high level every weekend, and that's why they've won the races that they have.
Mr. Hendrick, would you like to comment on that?
Sorry, I was sleeping here. Anytime you can win at Darlington, I didn't realize it had been since 2012 was the last race we won here. And we won with Terry, and we won a lot of races here. I remember that one at the steam engine that you won here.
Yeah.
And so it's great to win. The cars were good. The Toyotas looked extremely fast as the race started. And we came back, and the adjustments they made were really good. And it's so good to see William win. Think about him as 3 wins now this year, more than anybody. And feel bad for Kyle, because he had a really good car and drove the wheels off of it. And hate to see that happen at that stage of the race, but this is a good place. We're 296 wins now, a couple wins, so we're looking for 300 and hope we can get it this year.
Well, congratulations. We're going to open the floor to questions. We're going to start with Mike, go to Ben, and then work our way back.
Mike Henry from NBC. Rick, you've been stacking up wins over the past months and years, but like you mentioned, it's been 2012 since you guys won here. Is there an easy explanation for that, or just coincidence?
Joey Logano hitting William in the ass, Kyle Busch, yeah, Chase. Yeah. That's if you go back and look at it, you can see exactly what happened. We've led laps and we've been in position, but one of those situations like that, when you see a caution toward the end, and we thought Chase had one. We think William had it one last year. What was it, last year? Yeah. And Joey got him going into turn one. So, it's a hard race. It's a long race, and things happen, and you can be in the catbird seat, and then a caution comes out, and people pit, don't pit, and then you're in a box. But it's tough to win anywhere in this sport right now.
You mentioned 300. You're closing in on that. Any celebration in particular in mind? Kind of a big sale at the car shop, or what you got planned?
We're talking about, we really want to celebrate 300. So it's going to be an awesome year when we can do that. We'll have a huge party with all of our guys. We'll try to get all the drivers that want a race to come back and join us. So, it's, it's a milestone. You know, I never thought we'd catch Richard, and now to think about 300 wins, it's amazing. And you know, we like to celebrate those victories because that's a real milestone in the sport. So, big party, and you can get cars on a deal any day, any day.
All right, let's go to Ben White.
Okay, Ben White, Fayetteville Observer for Jeff and Mr. Hendrick both. It seems like William is just calm as a cucumber all the time, just cool. And is he that way in the car and also outside the car? I mean, he just seems like, you know, you get drivers who are just all over the place in the car and get upset and stuff. Is he that way in the car?
Well, I was standing right there with him on pit road last year when he didn't win the race because he got knocked out of the way by Joey. And I would not have considered that a calm, cool, and collected William. but he does hold it in and composes himself well. And you know, he just puts his head down, gets through it over the next couple of days, and goes on to the next one and puts it behind him. And that's what great race car drivers do.
Yeah, you know, I think we've seen it more this year and maybe last year when he's running up front and something happens. He gets really – somebody gets into him, he gets upset, but – you know, he's calm in the car, and he gets great feedback, and Rudy does an awesome job. And, I mean, to look back at William and see how he's matured over the years and how good he is now, it's pretty amazing the lack of laps he's got, you know, to be in the position he's in. But he's smart. He works hard. He's in the simulator all the time. He puts a lot of effort into the program.
The only thing I'll add to that is – leading laps, winning races, competing at you know, up front almost every single weekend, racing with the competitors he's racing with, that builds your confidence in a way where you can be more calm because, you know, something might happen that gets you behind, but you've got confidence in yourself, your pit crew, your team will get it back. And I think that's what I'm seeing, you know, kind of the evolution of William and the whole team this year.
Yeah, let's go to Dustin and then Jordan.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Rick, while you're celebrating a win by one of your cars, the number five could have been in contention to have won today and involved in the incident with the one. It's the third time he's been damaged by the one, and either directly or indirectly the last month. Has Ross Chastain crossed a line?
I think you can ask any driver in here that he's wrecked or been involved with, and he, you know, he doesn't have to be that aggressive. And I guess at this point in the race, maybe you're super aggressive, but you just don't run people up in the fence or, you know, just he's going to make a lot of enemies. That it's hard to win a championship when you got a lot of paybacks out there. And he's got so much talent. I think if he just calmed down that there's a time to race. Dale Earnhardt Sr. Told me one time, he said, you know, I won't name the driver who drove for me, but he said, you know, he's got all the talent. He just doesn't know how to race. And meaning he just knows when to race, when to push it. He's got a lot of talent, but he's making a lot of enemies out here. And I mean, Kyle, now this one in Dover and, you know, it's getting Talladega. It's really getting old with these guys.
And obviously these guys are competitors, but this is another Chevrolet driver. So
I don't care if he's driving a Chevrolet, if he wrecks our cars. I don't care. And I've told Chevrolet that. If you wreck us, you're going to get it back. And if you don't do it, they'll run all over you. So, you know, I'm loyal to Chevrolet, but when somebody runs over us, then I expect my guys to hold their ground. And I'm not going to let them ask them to yield just because of the Chevrolet.
And one last thing, thank you, is do you have to get involved? Or is this all about Kyle? I know Kyle typically is not a confrontational type of person. That's not in his nature. Is that something that needs to be discussed at a higher level, or is that something that Kyle's just got to stick him in the wall at some point?
Well, I would think Justin would have a conversation and say, you know, we're going to, you know, it's going to be hard. Again, if you have a lot of people, you know, want to pay you back, then it's hard to win a championship that way. He's got talent enough to do that. And but we don't want to get knocked out of, if you look at the points that Larson's lost because of that and the race here today, I mean, you know, it's just, you I think somewhere in the stages he was all over Larson. So, I mean, it's – we can't – the drivers have to settle that, whatever I say to the owners or NASCAR. NASCAR wants to get in it. They did with Jeff Bodine and Dale Earnhardt when I was going through all that, and they put a stop to it. But this is just not between two guys, you know.
And they have Rick Hendrick talking about the Kyle Larson Ross Chastain incident. Anyway, this coming weekend is the All-Star event. North Wilkesboro has been revived. We have the Truck Series Saturday afternoon at 1:30. And then Sunday we have the All-Star Open at 5:30 on Fox Sports 1. And the All-Star Race at 8 o'clock. I guess the carryovers from the Open, there'll be the winner and I guess a vote and whoever. So Sunday night is a race night. NHRA will be back in action, I saw. And the Truck Series Saturday afternoon on regular Fox. Again, a support race on regular Fox, the main event on Fox Sports 1. All right, I'm Vinny B., your host. Hope you had a good day. We'll see you all next week. I promise I don't have a doctor's appointment. Good day and good racing. Bye now.